This is KCAST, the podcast for the Cayman Islands, and this week we're chatting with a voice you probably recognize. Mark Lee does afternoons for us at Z99. You've probably heard him on Bob, and you've definitely seen him on TV talking about Formula One. I sat down with him and found out his story, which he really doesn't share with too many people.
This is a pleasure, mate. Very exciting, KCAST. Very happy to be part of it because it's something good for Cayman and something unique to Cayman. I think isn't it the first podcast dedicated to Cayman?
Dozens of people are listening every week.
Yes, indeed. The three people I spoke to last week, none of them had listened.
Hey, you know, we were at 12 the first week. Now we're at 20. That's great growth, and that's all you can ask.
From little acorns, as my mum used to say.
So today we're just kind of chatting with you because we hear you on the radio so much.
Some people do.
We see you on Cayman 27 talking about Formula One.
Occasionally.
But we want to know more about you. So why don't we start with, when did you get to the island?
I'm the dark horse of Hurley's Media.
You are not.
Yeah.
You are the blood. Every day we say thank God for Mark.
When did you get Media, here? When was it? 20, wasn't it? It's coming up for 2 years, isn't it?
That's it.
Only I think 2 years. We managed to get me here, I think it was June, wasn't it? First week of June, second week of June.
Anybody who's ever done work permits knows that you say, okay, we're going to try to get you here for December.
Yeah.
And then usually, if you do that, they usually make it right around summer.
Yeah, I remember we first started talking some months before.
Yeah.
And then eventually with permits and everything else. And it's the medical stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it takes a minute. I mean, you had trouble. Didn't you have trouble with getting your police clearance or something?
The police clearance, bizarrely, for the whole of the UK is done in Scotland by a company called Disclosure Scotland.
Right.
Sounds like some dodgy deal to me. But and they decided that they were going to send my police clearance out, which is kind of worrying. By standard mail, not registered or signed for or anything, and then it disappeared. So somewhere in England, someone's got my criminal background check.
Let's not talk so much about how we got you here, but let's talk about like what you were doing that led up to you being here. So just so everyone understands what you do here, Mark is the afternoon drive personality for Z99. You're on from 2 till 7 every weekday. Mm. You usually do Saturdays as well. But in addition to that, you've picked up a bunch of skills when it comes to like the technical side, like the computer side of stuff. Where did you learn how to do all that?
Well, we need to go back a bit, really, because if you're asking the question, how did I end up here, that's a story where you need to go back a bit. Because, and it ties in with actually what we've got coming up. It ties up with Ice on Ice and the Cayman Islands Cancer Society.
All right, sir.
I was in the UK after returning to the UK from previously working away a bit. And sadly, my mum had her second bout of cancer. Mm. And my father had been diagnosed with cancer as well.
Good God, Mark. Right before you got here.
This was some time.
Because you worked in Greece.
Just before Greece.
Just before
so
Greece.
So this story kind of leads to the impetus as to why I decided I was going to start traveling and working away.
Okay.
So my mum had had a mastectomy.
Yeah.
She'd had treatment and she was clear. During that time between her being clear and then them finding out that the cancer had returned, my father had also become ill as well.
Oh, wow.
So, and that was very quick and very sudden. We didn't know why he just suddenly, they thought he had a cough and a flu or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it turned out that for some reason he'd had a particularly kind of invasive cancer that had gone into his body. Mm. And he was very poorly and just went, you know, without trying to make sort of light of it, he went from being perfectly fine and okay to being gone in about 3.5 months.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was quite...
So did he pass before your mother did?
Yeah, and this was the challenge.
While your mother was challenging...
This was the challenging thing.
Oh, my God.
So my mum and dad had been married like 35 years.
Right.
My mum had cancer, got through cancer. Then my dad got cancer. He then, before he passed away, during that 3.5 months, my mum found out her cancer had returned after already having a double mastectomy.
Oh, yeah.
And then my father passed during the time she was having her next lot of treatment.
Yeah.
And then, and this is the saddest thing, my grandmother, my mum's mum, my mum then passed and my grandmother outlived my mother.
Oh, God.
Which was really sad.
That's just sad for everyone.
Like, whose grandma would ever expect that they're going to outlive their daughter?
Right.
That doesn't, like, you right, don't right, ever
right.
think that.
Right. Yeah, well, the parents aren't supposed to outlive their kids.
Yeah, exactly.
You're never
so
supposed to
it was a really
kid.
Sad thing, bless her. Yeah. Just after her 100th birthday, she got a telegram from the Queen.
Oh, okay.
Which was amazing.
Yeah.
Sadly, just before her 100th birthday, my mum passed as well. So that then gave me a bit of an impetus because I'd stayed in England for quite some time to make sure you look after them. One sister.
Okay.
And she's married, got a little boy.
Was she near the family or had she moved?
Yeah, no. This was the other awful thing. On the day that my mum passed away, my sister was at her house in Bulgaria holidaying. And I had the horrible job of having to phone my sister abroad to tell her that my mum had passed
people
away.
People holiday in Bulgaria? That's a thing?
She'd bought a house. It was cheaper. Her husband's a builder. And
I see.
They did it up and sold it.
Wow. Okay, it's so funny, Mark, because you have such a happy demeanor.
Yeah,
you really show that.
And I'm really not sad.
Right. So how does that tie back to...
So that tied back to how I got here, because that gave me the impetus. Now I was... A, I wanted to clear my head.
Yeah.
And B, I was kind of free of any obligation to my parents, not in any bad way.
Right.
But like, I was free of any obligation.
Yeah.
And I was thought, well, now I'm just going to, you know, it would make my mum and dad happy.
Right. What's keeping me here?
Yeah. It would make my mum and dad happy for me to now focus on my passion, which is my career.
Yeah.
And
that took you...
That took me to Greece the second time.
Second time.
Yeah.
How did you find a job in Greece? Dude, what were you doing in Greece?
Well, the reason I was in
Greece... Because you're a DJ.
Yeah,
I
know.
Right? So why you don't really DJ here too much?
No.
Is it because you're just sick of people and what they want to hear? Like, I don't care anymore?
Not really. It's just that I'm a little bit fussy now about what I do.
Okay. Because I've only think in the 2 years you've been here...
Once.
You DJed one time...
At the Lilies. Yeah, and that was fun.
Yeah.
That was great fun. And it's not through that I don't like it. It's finding the right gig.
Right.
You know, you don't want to do something... Like, I don't know anything about soca.
Okay.
There's no point in me trying to play soca. That's Queen Mars. That's her job. Or Coolface or Craigie Boo or whoever. Right. You know, they're the soca junkies.
Yeah.
So I can't do anything to do with soca. So
what were you doing then? What were you doing in Greece?
So the reason I went to Greece the first time...
Yeah.
Was a friend of mine owned a club there.
Okay.
So I went out there for a while.
What island?
To Zakynthos, which is part of the Ionian Islands. You've got Corfu, you've got Kefalonia, and you've got Zakynthos.
Hilarious. Okay.
And so I went over to see him.
Yeah.
And then while I was there over and seeing him on like a mini vacay / DJ break.
Yeah.
While I was there, another friend of mine had got the job as program director, which is your job. Mm. Of a cluster of stations in Greece.
Okay.
So that's how I ended up getting a job in Greece.
Doing radio.
Because doing radio.
But that wasn't the first time you done radio, though.
No. But that was kind of the first time why my job, getting a job abroad.
Got you. So you've moved to the island to be a club DJ.
Yeah.
And while you're there, somebody knows somebody. Hey, they're looking
for
radio guys.
We don't know anything. Mark's here now.
And then, okay, so then they bring you in, and they bring you in as a personality or as a guy who fixes things?
No, I just went in as a personality.
Oh, and what day part were you doing?
I was doing afternoons.
Afternoons.
Yeah.
And they're not speaking Greek there?
No, it was
in English.
It was two Greek stations and one English speaking station. A bit like Hurley's Media. Like there was a few stations in the cluster, and there was two Greek speaking stations, and it was the only English speaking station that got broadcast across the Ionian Islands. In fact, the only one in Greece.
So you must have been pretty huge.
It was good fun. Hugely popular, not just with expats, but with other nationalities as well.
For sure. So, like, would you say that you had it's a smaller island here, but I mean, it's similar though, right?
Similar size, not much difference.
Okay.
But then it went across the three islands.
Right. Okay. So then you're there. You're doing your afternoons, and you then where did you learn the skills about transmitters and?
Well, it's a bit like being here. Like, island life is quite unique, isn't it?
Yeah.
And when something goes wrong, you either make a phone call and you try and get someone down, or you try and find someone locally to fix something, or you have to wait until the next scheduled visit in 6 months' time, because flying people down to the island is always expensive.
Sure.
and you got a hotel room and all the
rest of it. So you just sort of taught yourself.
So I kind of taught myself. You know, stuff started breaking, and it was like, well, this either stays broken for 3 to 6 months until the engineer comes back,
right?
Or I learn how to fix it. So I started teaching myself how to fix stuff.
Right, right.
So, you know, YouTube, forums, there's some great nerds out there. Way nerdier than me, if that's even possible.
Right. So, okay, so that let's bring it back a little bit then. Let's talk about how you started getting into radio then. So your first, tell me your first radio job and what how much was the salary for
There was
year?
No salary.
No
it was a
salary.
Volunteer position.
A volunteer.
And you did this as well, didn't you? Didn't you do volunteering? Didn't you do like a, weren't you an intern or something?
I interned for the promotions
department.
Because
that's not paid, is it? Interning?
No, it wasn't paid.
No.
But I didn't do that for very long before they hired me full time.
My first experience came working for a hospital radio station.
This is the best story. Tell this story and don't rush because I'm very. So you're in college.
I was at college. I was at uni. Yeah.
So you've got a degree.
I hadn't got my degree,
but you do now.
I do now.
What's your degree in?
Mechanics and engineering.
You got a bachelor's.
I guess that's what it is here.
In mechanics and engineering.
Yeah.
And then you decide to get out of college and go and do volunteer radio at a hospital.
While I was at college.
Gotcha.
While I was at college, there's in the UK, a lot of the big hospitals have their own internal radio stations.
Right.
And, you know, you can go and you play music for people that are ill, cheer them up, play a request, whatever it is. But it's not as simple as you think you're going to walk in and go straight on air. And, of course, we all know that doesn't happen.
Even at the hospital, there's a waiting list?
No, that's worse.
Really?
That's worse because... it's like a baptism of initiation you have to go through.
Okay, okay.
And you have to do your groundwork. So when you first volunteer, you're traipsing around the different wards.
Oh, my God. Are you doing remotes from the nurse's station?
Hey,
it's Malcolm out here at Nurse Station 11 A Wing Oncology. Come on out. Check us out. We got free tongue depressors today.
Yeah.
Have you tried the fruit cocktail? 2-for-1 fruit cocktail today at the cafeteria. Come on, don't check me out.
Yeah. So you had to go around and take people's requests.
Oh.
Which was sometimes quite difficult because, like, you've got some poor old boy that's just had a hip replacement.
Right.
He's out his face on morphine, and you're going, would you like to hear some Frank Sinatra?
I see. So you're walking around. Okay, so you're trying to, like, brighten people's day.
That's what it was all about.
It's cute.
It's cute, and it's a big thing.
What shift were you on there?
It was an evening. I think it was a Saturday, because I was at uni during the week.
Hi, Marzi.
Hey, Marzi's here now.
Mars just walked in. Mars, we're just doing our podcast. Jump in if you like. Okay, so you're running the Saturday afternoon.
Saturday evening. The worst shift that there is.
Hospital gig.
Yeah.
Then what happens? What is your next move to professional radio?
So from that, I started recording my output, as we do.
Like your tape.
Yeah, taping it. And it was on tape then. The old TDK.
So were you submitting your air check to radio stations using the hospital radio
Absolutely.
Station?
Absolutely.
So that's probably why it's so popular. Path. I got it.
Yeah.
So almost that's where a lot of guys come from.
100%. Back then, that was the established path.
You
pay your dues.
Yeah.
And then if you're lucky, you might get a chance. And it took me quite a while to get even anyone to reply.
First shift, what radio station? What city?
First station was a station in Southampton called The Saint. 107.7 The Saint.
Yes. And what did they play?
It was kind of bobbish.
Okay.
It was kind of adult orientated, male skewed.
Got it.
Output.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually based at the Southampton Football Club stadium.
Oh.
Because it was co-funded.
Right.
They won the license.
Yeah.
And so it was co-funded by Southampton Football Club, who were a Premiership team, if anyone knows anything about football.
Yeah.
It was a Premiership team at the time, and they were the local station for Southampton.
Right.
Also on satellite and on DAB.
So that's your first...
That was my first gig. I got swing shifts, cover shifts.
Okay. Yeah. So then you moved from Phil, and then where do you go from there?
From Phil, I went to often... I was lucky. Yeah. I went from Phil... to Saturday and Sunday mornings.
Got it.
Like, you know, the early breakfast on a Saturday and Sunday morning. And then from that, I got my first PM drive gig.
Nice. And that's at that same station.
Same station,
and
yeah.
And you stayed rocking Southampton, the Saint?
Yeah.
For how long until you moved?
I was there for a good few years.
Okay.
Because it was a good team. It was a small team.
Yeah.
But the program director was a good guy. We got on great.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I started learning, you know? Yeah. That's where you start learning.
So you moved to, how many more, I mean, when do you get to the big leagues? Let's fast forward to now.
Yeah.
You're working for a major station.
Yeah, and then you know what it's like. You do different places, different stations, different covers. And then you start moving to bigger stations. And then I got better gigs and I started working for The Breeze, which was a network. And then I'd been to Greece. And then I also then came back to the UK after that. And then I kind of got lucky and started working for Heart.
Right. Which is a big national brand.
Yeah. And then in between that, I also went to Dubai as well.
Dubai. How long
that
were you
was
in Dubai?
This maternity cover.
Really? How long were you in Dubai for?
About 3 months.
3 months.
Yeah.
You're like, a little hot for me. I'm gonna head back.
It was all right. And it worked out well because there were some changes, you know, going on.
Yeah.
So it worked out well. I popped away again, honed your skills, different market because I was working for an AC there. Yeah. And then, you know, you learn stuff. And then when I came back, I was in an even better position to go back to the network.
How long is your career spanned?
Well, if we go back to those hospital radio station days to now, it's like 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah.
Have you gotten to a point where you ever regretted choosing radio as your path?
Well, there's easier ways to make a living.
Right.
You know, and even when I first started DJing, there was, you know, that time when you decide to give up your job or, you know, give up the job that you're doing to start doing this as a career.
Yeah.
It's a tough time.
Sure.
And there have been times where stations I've been working for were bought out.
Right.
You know, I remember I went from, you know, doing six shows a week down to one.
Right.
In the space of a week, the station got bought out. Sorry, we don't need you anymore.
Who was the biggest asshole you ever worked with?
Ooh.
That's easy.
Marzi was getting animated there.
Who was just, you know, everything, you know, you encounter a lot of people over 20
years.
Yeah, you do. There are a lot of people who you're like, you know what? I want to be more like this guy. I want to be,
I can tell you inspirations very easily, but bad people, do you know what? There's people that I've disagreed with or disagreed with what they're thinking.
Right.
But like really bad people?
Yeah.
I don't think I've had one.
What about a person you've learned from the most?
That's quite easy. One of the people I learned from the most was who is now my best mate back home, Howard.
Yeah.
He was on air nationally when I was coming through the ranks.
Yeah.
And he was very patient and very thoughtful. And I learned a lot from him. He's a great jock. I respect him greatly. And program directors, there's been a few program directors that I respect greatly at different stations. The guy in Dubai was amazing.
Yeah.
He was fantastic. I learned so much from him.
Yeah.
And a couple of the smaller stations. The guy at Southampton was great.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot from a lot of people.
Yeah. What was the point in your career? And we'll wrap this up because I know we're getting close to the end here.
Yeah.
When you felt like, okay, man, I'm successful. I did this. Like this, you know, there's moments in all of our
careers. I'm still hungry now.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, have you had that moment where you felt like I'm happy with this decision I made? Like, look, this is like you've been proud of a moment or proud of something that really made you feel like, you know what? I picked the right thing. I'm happy with what I did.
First national show. That was quite a big moment to be syndicated.
Yeah.
You know, across however many stations. That's quite a big moment.
Yeah.
I was kind of proud of that. I'm very nervous at the same time.
Right, yeah, sure.
And then actually, you know, seeing the way the industry is changing around the world, I feel very blessed to be here, to be honest.
True.
I'm really happy here. True. I think for lack of stress and enjoying your work and working with a good team and cool people, I think I'm probably the happiest I've been, in over 10 years.
Oh, yeah. That makes me happy to hear that. If you could give, as we finish up, any advice to somebody who is not necessarily just looking for a job in radio or broadcasting, but just kind of like looking for a job.
Yeah.
What would be like the one most valuable thing you think you could tell them that they could apply to help find that exact same feeling that you found now?
Listen and watch, and you learn more than anything. And don't expect too much, because I get a feeling at the moment in the society that we're in is everyone expects everything straight away. Like, you know, they finish college, they come out with a degree, and they automatically expect to end up being the CEO.
Right.
And don't expect too much too soon, and listen and learn. Just listen and learn. I've learned more by knowing when to shut up.
Right.
And just watch and listen than any educational process or any degree or any piece of studying I've ever done. And I don't have a formal broadcasting or journalism degree.
Right.
You know, I've learned all of what I know by listening and watching people that are good at what they do.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably the best tip for anyone. So shut up and listen and watch.
Mark, thanks for being on KCast.
You're welcome.